It's March 9th, and our reading today in the Old Testament will be from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 24. We'll go through chapter 13, verse 33, and we'll read about complaining about burdens. Moses was grieved when they criticized both him and God. Could they improve upon the manna that came from heaven? Why did they crave food from Egypt? Had they forgotten their bondage in that land? Moses did what you must do when people disappoint you. He took it to God in prayer and told God just how he felt. God met the need, encouraged his servant, and punished the rebels. And we'll also read about complaining about blessing. Zealous for Moses and his position, Joshua told him to stop the two men from prophesying. James and John made a similar mistake, and Jesus had to rebuke them. If all God's people were praising God by the Spirit, they would not be complaining. The Jews got what they asked for, but they lost the spiritual enrichment that comes when people walk by faith. Have you learned to be grateful for unanswered prayer? And as we progress into Numbers chapter 12 today, we'll read about the leader denounced. If you're in a place of leadership, expect criticism, even from members of your family. It happened to Moses, David, and the Lord Jesus. Moses' wife was not the real reason for their criticism. Aaron and his sister were jealous of the authority God had given Moses, and they wanted him to share it. Perhaps they were reacting to what God did for the 70 elders. We'll read about the fact the Lord was displeased. Moses did not defend himself. He waited for God to act. You see, if we defend ourselves, we may hinder the Lord from defending us. Next to death, becoming a leper was the worst thing that could have happened to Miriam. We'll read about the nation delayed. How often people turn for help to the very ones they have criticized. In his meekness, Moses did not rejoice at his sister's punishment. Instead, he prayed for her. Because of their sin, Aaron and Miriam delayed the march of the nation for a whole week. The sin of criticism is far more serious than most people realize. And as we move into Numbers chapter 13, we'll read about seeing the opportunities. The people thought they should spy out the land before conquering it, and Moses let them do it. Well, God had already told them what the promised land was like, so why did they have to investigate? Faith takes God at his word and needs no other evidence. The spies discovered that the land was indeed all that God had promised it to be. And we'll be seeing the obstacles. 10 spies emphasized the obstacles instead of the opportunities and concluded that Israel was too weak to conquer the enemy. They walked by sight and not by faith. The people of the land were giants, the city walls were high, and the men felt like grasshoppers. Well, you know, unbelief blinds you to God's greatness and magnifies your own weakness. And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. March 9th, Numbers chapter 11, verse 24, through chapter 13, verse 33. So Moses went out and reported the Lord's words to the people. Then he gathered the 70 leaders and stationed them around the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. He took some of the spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon the 70 leaders. They prophesied as the spirit rested upon them. But that was the only time this happened. Two men, Eldad and Medad, were still in the camp when the spirit rested upon them. They were listed among the leaders, but had not gone out to the tabernacle. So they prophesied there in the camp. A young man ran and reported to Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' personal assistant since his youth, protested, "Moses, my master, make them stop." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them all. Then Moses returned to the camp with the leaders of Israel. Now the Lord sent a wind that brought quail from the sea and let them fall into the camp and all around it. For many miles in every direction from the camp, there were quail flying about 3 feet above the ground. So the people went out and caught quail all that day and throughout the night, and all the next day too. No one gathered less than 50 bushels. They spread the quail out all over the camp. But while they were still eating the meat, the anger of the Lord blazed against the people, and he caused a severe plague to break out among them. So that place was called Kibroth Hattaava, the graves of craving, because they buried the people there who had craved meat from Egypt. From there, the Israelites traveled to Hazeroth, where they stayed for some time. While they were at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses because he had married a Cushite woman. They said, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he spoken through us too?" But the Lord heard them. Now Moses was more humble than any other person on earth. So immediately the Lord called to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam and said, "Go out to the tabernacle, all three of you." And the three of them went out. Then the Lord descended in the pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle. "Aaron and Miriam," he called, and they stepped forward. And the Lord said to them, "Now listen to me. Even with prophets, I, the Lord, communicate by visions and dreams, but that is not how I communicate with my servant Moses. He is entrusted with my entire house. I speak to him face to face, directly, and not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is. Should you not be afraid to criticize him?" The Lord was furious with them, and he departed. As the cloud moved from above the tabernacle, Miriam suddenly became white as snow with leprosy. When Aaron saw what had happened, he cried out to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, please don't punish us for this sin we have so foolishly committed. Don't let her be like a stillborn baby already decayed at birth." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "Heal her, O God, I beg you." And the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, wouldn't she have been defiled for 7 days? Banish her from the camp for 7 days, and after that, she may return." So Miriam was excluded from the camp for 7 days, and the people waited until she was brought back before they traveled again. Then they left Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. The Lord now said to Moses, "Send men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to Israel. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. These were the tribes and the names of the leaders. From the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, son of Zachar. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, son of Nun. From Benjamin, Palti, son of Raphu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, son of Zodai. From the tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph, Gadai, son of Susi. From Dan, Amiel, son of Gamali. From the tribe of Asher, Sethur, son of Michael. From Naphtali, Nabai, son of Vophshai. And from Gad, Geuel, son of Machai. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. By this time, Moses had changed Hoshea's name to Joshua. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. "Go northward through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls, or are they unprotected? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Enter the land boldly, and bring back samples of the crops you see. It happened to be the season for harvesting the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near Lebo Hamath. Going northward, they passed first through the Negev and arrived at Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, all descendants of Anak, lived. The ancient town of Hebron was founded 7 years before the Egyptian city of Zoan. When they came to what is now known as the Valley of Eshcol, they cut down a cluster of grapes, so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. They also took samples of the pomegranates and figs. At that time, the Israelites renamed the Valley Eshcol Cluster because of the cluster of grapes they had cut there. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the people of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. "We arrived in the land you sent us to see, and it is indeed a magnificent country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is some of its fruit as proof. But the people living there are powerful, and their cities and towns are fortified and very large. We also saw the descendants of Anak who are living there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley." But Caleb tried to encourage the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him answered, "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread discouraging reports about the land among the Israelites. "The land we explored will swallow up any who go to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. We felt like grasshoppers next to them, and that's what we looked like to them." March 9th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today will come from the book of Mark, chapter 14, verses 22 through 52. This chapter is all about preparation. We have already read about the preparation for betrayal. We've read about preparation for burial and preparation for fellowship. Today, we'll read about preparation for danger and preparation for death. First, with regard to danger, the good fellowship in the upper room made the 12 forget the danger outside. So Jesus gave them a warning. Peter was not the only one who boasted and felt self-confident. "And they all said likewise," it says here in verse 31. So heed his warnings. He knows what's coming. And then in regard to our preparation for death, Jesus' prayers reveal the conflict in his holy soul as he faced bearing the sins of the world on the cross. You see, when you have a Gethsemane experience, pray what he prayed. And that was, "Not what I will, but what you will." Peter had a sword, but Jesus took a cup. You need not fear the cup the Father has prepared for you. Jesus could submit to the abuse of men because he had already submitted to the will of God. And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. The book of Mark, chapter 14, verses 22 through 52. As they, the disciples, were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread and asked God's blessing on it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, poured out for many, sealing the covenant between God and his people. I solemnly declare that I will not drink wine again until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Then they sang a hymn and went on to the Mount of Olives. All of you will desert me, Jesus told them, for the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. Peter said to him, Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will. Peter, Jesus replied, The truth is, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. No, Peter insisted. Not even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the others vowed the same. And they came to an olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, Sit here while I go and pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be filled with horror and deep distress. He told them, My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me. He went on a little farther and fell face down on the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine. Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you stay awake and watch with me even 1 hour? Keep alert and pray. Otherwise, temptation will overpower you. For though the spirit is willing enough, the body is weak. Then Jesus left them again and prayed, repeating his pleadings. Again he returned to them and found them sleeping, for they just couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, Still sleeping? Still resting? Enough! The time has come. I, the Son of Man, am betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up! Let's be going! See? My betrayer is here. And immediately as he said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a mob that was armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent out by the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the other leaders. Judas had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I go over and give him the kiss of greeting. Then you can take him away under guard. As soon as they arrived, Judas walked up to Jesus. Teacher, he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. And then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But someone pulled out a sword and slashed off an ear of the high priest's servant. Jesus asked them, Am I some dangerous criminal that you come armed with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day. But these things are happening to fulfill what the scriptures say about me. Meanwhile, all his disciples deserted him and ran away. There was a young man following along behind, clothed only in a linen nightshirt. When the mob tried to grab him, they tore off his clothes, but he escaped and ran away naked. Psalm 52, verses 1 through 9. Doeg was an evil man who curried favor with King Saul by spying on David. When David learned what Doeg had done, he turned to God for help. For God is the only one who can justly deal with our enemies. You know, the tongue can be a force for good or evil. Doeg's tongue was boastful, deceitful, and destructive, like a sharp razor. David focused on the goodness of God, not the badness of men, because he knew that God's justice would ultimately prevail. Doeg looked like a strong, luxuriant tree, but he would be rooted up, while David would be fresh and fruitful. God protected David's name because David trusted God's name. Rewind. God protected David's name because David trusted God's name. More people call their sons David than Doeg. Have you noticed? Psalm 52, verses 1 through 9. For the choir director, a psalm of David, regarding the time Doeg the Edomite told Saul that Ahimelech had given refuge to David. You call yourself a hero, do you? Why boast about this crime of yours, you who have disgraced God's people? All day long you plot destruction. Your tongue cuts like a sharp razor. You're an expert at telling lies. You love evil more than good, and lies more than truth. You love to say things that harm others, you liar. But God will strike you down once and for all. He will pull you from your home and drag you from the land of the living. The righteous will see it and be amazed. They will laugh and say, "Look what happens to mighty warriors who do not trust in God." They trust their wealth instead and grow more and more bold in their wickedness. But I am like an olive tree, thriving in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever, O God, for what you have done. I will wait for your mercies in the presence of your people. Proverbs, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. The Lord hates cheating, but he delights in honesty. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Good people are guided by their honesty. Treacherous people are destroyed by their dishonesty.